worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Payne, and I'm chair of the Hospitality Ministries team. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. Even though Easter Sunday was April the 4th, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus during this season called Eastertide, which is 50 days. In the description section of our live feed, you'll find worship materials, including an order of service and links to our hymns. We also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. It is our hope that you experience the joy of Easter as you worship with us today.
Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is good to be with all of you, those who are here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream or Facebook. The Spirit of Christ unites us in this time of worship, and it's a joy to be together. As we gather, I have just a few announcements to share as part of our life together. At our 8:45 service, we celebrated those students who are graduating from high school, and we gave each one of them a Bible and got a chance to pray for them and send them on their way with our blessings. In your bulletins this morning and also online, hopefully, you'll see the insert with their names and their faces, and I would invite you to be in prayer for them as they continue their journey and for their parents as they begin to launch. We also have others in our community and at least one visiting with us today who are graduating from college or from other institutions. And so for all of you, we offer our love and our prayers, and we will continue to support you in any way that we can. Someone pointed out to me that, you know, every day is a special day. They designate these special holidays. Well, today is actually World Laughter Day. And so in celebration of World Laughter Day, we want to think about the ways that we as a community of faith not only study together and worship together and pray together, but also play together. And I want to tell you about Chalk Fest, which is going to be happening on May 23rd from 3 to 4:30 out in the parking lot. We invite children and youth and their families and anyone who'd like to join us to come and join in games and chalk drawings and just have fun together. That's part of the way that we build connection in the body of Christ. I'd also like to invite you to participate in one of our Project Thrive conversations. We have two conversations scheduled. The first is Wednesday, May 12th at 6 p.m., and the other is Saturday, May 15th at 8:30 a.m. And these will last about 90 minutes, either over Zoom or in person here at the church. And this will be our continuing journey through the Project Thrive process, where we'll look at who we are as a congregation, looking in the mirror at some of our demographics and who we are today, and then looking out the window at our community and learning who lives in our community and what are some of the ways that we can be in partnership and ministry with our neighbors. So I hope you'll take time to sign up for one of those conversations. You can do that through the website. We continue a journey through the first letter of John this morning, this letter that we call a love letter. It's all about God's love for us and our commandment to love one another. So as we dive a little more deeply into this letter, may we open ourselves to the love of God that is here and now for each and every one of us. Let us worship together.
Christians all.
Come, all who are joyful this day. Come, all who grieve this day. Come, all who are weighted down these days. Come, all who are seeking and doubting this day. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are freed from our captivity to sin and death. With gratitude for God's marvelous love for all the world, let us confess our sins, confident that we will receive grace and mercy. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of God for the people of God.
I want to take just a moment with the children, those who are here and also those who are gathering with us virtually, if you want to get a little bit closer to your screens from home. This is a heart. That's pretty obvious, right? What do you think of when you see a heart? First word that comes to my mind is love. And this scripture reading that Mr. Bill read for us is all about love. It's a whole book about love, how much God loves us and how much we're called to love other people. And so when I think about love, I think about the heart. Now, our hearts in our bodies are just about right here. We put our hands over our hearts. This one's a lot bigger than my real heart. If you ask a doctor or a nurse, they'll tell you your real heart's about the size of a fist. But what do our hearts do in our bodies? They do this. They pump. And they pump blood all up and down our heart, our bodies, to the tips of our fingers, to the tips of our toes, and back again. Several times a minute, carrying what I've heard like 4 to 5 quarts of blood every minute. And in that blood, there is carried vitamins and oxygen for us to breathe and all the things that our bodies need to be healthy and whole. So it's no wonder, I think, that we think about the heart and love, because love is sort of like that. Love is something that goes out and comes back. It goes out to the world and then it comes back to us. It goes out from God and then we give it back to God in relationship. When I was a child, I learned a song in Vacation Bible School. Maybe you know it. If you know it, you can sing it with me. Love is a circle that knows no bounds. The more you give, the more comes around. Love is ours alone to give. It lives in us. It's beautiful. Let us pray. Gracious God, from you flows all love. And we want to return our love back to you so that it's constantly flowing back and forth from you to us, to others, to everybody. Thank you for our hearts and the blood within our bodies that give us such a neat way to understand how your love flows and gives us life and love. We love you, God. Receive our love in return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my sermon this morning is a little odd in that I want to talk about blood. And that's not something that is a very comfortable subject, perhaps. Maybe when we think about blood, we think about things that hurt and illness and bad things. And yet, blood is an image that comes up a lot in the Christian faith. And it comes up especially in these words that we've heard from the first letter of John. And so as I read this text this week, I began to wonder, is there something in this image of blood that I need to return to and reconsider? Because I'll be honest with you, there was a time in my life when I just wasn't interested in talking about or singing about or thinking about blood in church. When I was in seminary, I had a really good group of friends, and we still get together for New Year's every year. And this is the 25th reunion of our graduation from seminary. But for some reason, my closest friends in seminary all came out of the Southern Baptist tradition. And they came to Emory, a United Methodist seminary. And we sat around the dinner table one night, and as geeky seminary students, we started singing old hymns. And all of these old wonderful gospel hymns, many of which I had grown up singing in the Methodist church, some of which I had sung at my family camp meeting. And then they started in on these songs I'd never heard before. And a lot of them were hymns that were about the blood of Jesus. Some of them are in the Methodist hymnal, but I had never sung them growing up. Now, if we had more time, or if we had a Bible study together and could really delve into what this was about, I think there's a way that in the Methodist Church, at least, we were moving toward a different understanding of what Jesus' crucifixion was all about. There were some theological reasons why we might have moved away from some of these old hymns. But I think we lost a little something, perhaps, in leaving behind this imagery and some of this music. And so in this letter of 1 John, I found myself invited back to consider why it's important that we think about and sing about and ponder the blood of Christ. Why was it important to the writer of 1 John? And how might it be a blessing and an image that we can embrace in our day today? Well, let's dig a little bit into this letter. If you were with us last week, we talked about the first part of this letter, that the writer of John, even though his name probably wasn't John, we're going to call him John, was writing to a community of churches that was experiencing some confusion. Either this person, John, or someone had founded these churches on the belief that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the Son of God, and that in his life, his teachings, his death, and his resurrection, we find the way of life. We discover God's unconditional love for us, and we're given the commandment to love God, love neighbor, even love our enemies in return. It was a community built on an ethic of love. But then along the way, there were other teachers who came along who started saying different things about who Jesus was and what it all meant. Some of these teachers were probably coming from the Gnostic tradition, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, if you want to look that up and do some more research. But folks coming from this tradition tended to teach that Jesus was fully divine, but not necessarily fully human. That maybe what happened to Jesus on the cross was not actually a human death, but just made to look like human suffering and death. And so one of the reasons John writes this letter, and he says, he emphasizes Jesus came not just with the waters of baptism, but with blood, is to say, yes, Jesus was fully human. He had a human body, and blood flowed through his heart and through his veins. And it's necessary for us to understand this, to know that God is with us in all things. There is nothing that a human being can go through or suffer through that God has not already gone before us. If God is too perfect to be a suffering God or a vulnerable God, then how can we be saved? And so John emphasizes this point that Jesus was fully one of us, and that his death on the cross was God's way of being in solidarity with all of humankind. And so wherever there is suffering, wherever there is death, wherever there is oppression, there is God doing God's redeeming work. So John says, Jesus came through water and the blood. Don't forget the fleshiness and the humanness of Jesus. It is through that and through him that we find life. As I think about what blood is and how it works in our bodies and in our lives, I think there are other ways for us to be blessed by this image. We don't have to move toward the images of violence. We can instead understand blood as the source of life. As we lift up this cup together, every time we come to the table, we say, this is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. It is the cup of life. Someone in Bible study said that he gives blood regularly. And one of the wondrous things that the human body does If you donate a pint of blood, your body will replenish that supply. Now you have to eat a few cookies and drink some juice and sit down, and you have to wait a few weeks to be able to give again. But the way God created our bodies, we have enough blood and it will replenish itself. And if you give that blood away, you have no control over who receives it or where it goes. It could be somebody in another state, another part of the world. It could be somebody you disagree with, someone you don't like, certainly most likely a stranger to you. If you give the blood, you give it freely and you give it away. And then your body replenishes so that there's enough. Is that not a beautiful metaphor for the love of God? It flows in us and gives us life. We come to the table and we take the life of Christ into our lives, and it continues to replenish and to heal and to make us strong. And then we give it away. We share that life of Christ with others. We share that love freely with others without judgment, without keeping track or keeping score. And God continues to replenish and flow through us. There's something about this letter of John that's a lot like the Gospel of John. It feels very circular. The same themes come back again and again, that God is love. We are called to love one another. Abide in God. Abide in Christ. Abide in the Spirit. It's like the blood coursing through our veins and giving us life. May we abide in the life and love of Christ, knowing that there's more than enough for our healing and for the healing of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We now come to the time in our service where we stand or rise in body or spirit and affirm our faith. Our affirmation of faith this morning comes from number 883, Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. This morning, we join in sympathy and grief with Alan and Gretchen Horner and their family, who are mourning the death of Alan's sister, Laura Horner Weinbarger, who passed away April 28th, in Lilburn, Georgia. We mourn with Carla Swank Fox and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandmother, Verna May Goodwill Scouten Tubbs, who died April 28th at the age of 94 in Corey, Pennsylvania. Services will be held in Pennsylvania on May 3rd. And we grieve with the family of Michael Christopher Reed, who passed away on April 29th. He is survived by his wife, Elaine Reed, and his children, Hannah, Emily, and Matthew Reed. At the time of this publication, no service plans have been made. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the birds, of the flowers, and of the trees, we give you thanks for the abundance of life that unfolds all around us. No matter what happens in our world, your creation patiently reveals beauty in each unfurling of leaf, in each iris, in each daffodil and azalea. We stand in awe of a beautiful creation that you've given us to take care of and enjoy. The season brings joy and new life for some, but not all. We ask that you be with those who continue to fall ill from coronavirus, especially our global neighbors in India, Brazil, and Europe. We pray that you be with those who mourn, whether near to their loved one or far away. We praise you for the swiftness with which the vaccine was created. We pray for its safety, its efficacy, and its availability to those who need it, both here and around the world. We pray for those who are locked in cells of their own making and those who are locked in cages by the state. We ask that you provide comfort to the afflicted, companionship to the lonely, healing to the sick. Be with those who are on the threshold of this life into the next. Give patience to those who wait. Give compassion to those in need. Give wisdom and discernment to those in position of leadership locally, at our state, nationally, and around the world. Nudge us past our self-centeredness and toward one another. You've told us, O God, what you would have us to do. Love one another and to love you. Help us to keep your commandments. Walk with us in our struggles, in our times of sorrow and distress. Remind us that through you we have overcome the world. Show us signs. Help us to repeat to one another the bold truth that nothing can separate us from your love. It's in the holy name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on our screen or in the chat. And for those of you worshiping with us here in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex behind you at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your gifts following the service. Now let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God of love, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. Your love, you loved us from the beginning, and your love has never turned from us. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Be seated. O God of love, holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He walked before us the path of love. It was because of love that he healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, challenged the powerful, and welcomed the outcast. It was because of his radical love that he was arrested and condemned. It was because of love that he willingly gave his life away, that we, that all of creation, might have life and have it abundantly. It was love that raised him from the dead on the third day. It was in love that he ascended and promised to abide with us and within us in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And so we remember how on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of bread and the sharing of this cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in love, in praise, in thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered together and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet.
Thank you.
Knowing that we are beloved children of God, let us go in that belovedness to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the individual grains of wheat are gathered together to make one loaf, we who are many, we who are scattered, are one body in Christ. And though we hold many cups this day, we share together in the one cup, the cup of grace offered to us in Christ Jesus. As we prepare to come to this table, I would remind you that as we gather together, we always have an opportunity to make a second mile gift to one of the missions of this congregation. We come to receive and we come to give. If you feel led, our mission for the month of May is to support an outreach worker at Open Table Nashville. We here at West End pay a portion of Susan Adcock's salary so that she can do the much needed work of accompanying people who are experiencing homelessness. She meets individuals where they are, helps them to find housing when and where appropriate, and provides tools that they need to celebrate the cold winters and the hot summers. It's an honor to be part of this ministry, and we hope that if you are able, you will give. And now those of us who are gathered here in the sanctuary and those who are gathering at home, if you have your elements close by, let us now take this moment to break the bread and share the cup. Let us join together in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. As we leave this time of worship, may your heart and life be overflowing with the love of God that has been poured into you this day. May it flow through you out into this world, that the world may know the abundant, never-ending grace of God. Amen.